Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll. In this episode, you'll hear part two of my conversation with Janet Van Loan, assistant professor in the Education Department and co-director in the Center for Social Science Research at Bucknell University. More links and information about today's conversation can be found on Digication's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Full episodes of Digication Scholars Conversations can be found on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. I love that you're thinking along these lines of this kind of process portfolio. And I do think, you know, as in beginning teaching and in life, as you mentioned, that there are these moments that are incredibly important in our learning and development that are messy and are still so relevant to who we are and what we're doing today, even though many may not consider it as something that's kind of the polished professional version of ourselves that we're, you know, maybe putting out into the world in certain contexts. But I do think that there's incredible value in taking the time to reflect on those experiences, acknowledge them. You know, not every day going into the classroom is going to go as planned and the way that you wanted. And what we do with that is very important. And we learn something about ourselves and, you know, how we might approach the next day or next experience like that differently. And having some kind of record of that, I think, can make those experiences something that we can look back on with maybe less, you know, being less hard on ourselves, but maybe celebrating some of those experiences because we've been able to see that growth since that time. You know, what were the tools that I used? Who were the people that I reached out to? What are the tools that I used? How did I come back from that experience and make it something that could be more positive in the future? How did it change me? How did it change my approach to things? And I do think that it's these experiences that are also incredibly valuable when we are in conversations about potential employment opportunities. And I do think that many people that are hiring are starting to ask questions like this because they want there to be a good fit. You know, they don't want there to be so much, you know, attrition happening. They want to be able to retain people and know that they have, you know, the tools to be able to encounter challenges and grow from that. And so, you know, I do think, as you mentioned, your students have created these incredibly beautiful representations of what they are. And, you know, who they are, what they have done, the skills that they have. And it's incredibly valuable to be able to be in a conversation with someone when they ask you, you know, have you done X, Y, Z, to not just talk about it. I can show you right here. But I love that you're also thinking about how now as an now that you've had these few years to use it in the platform in that kind of manner and see its value there, to be thinking about it as this kind of space for maybe more introspection and reflection on process and growth and then they, because they can kind of move things around, you may find that some students, as part of that reflective experience, create something in that environment that they do want to be able to share, but maybe they want to provide some context around it, right? It might not be the artifact that aligns to the teaching standard, But maybe it is something that's going to fit into one of those other areas about their philosophy mm-hmm. or advocacy or why they're doing the research that they're doing. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm really absolutely. Excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I like what you said about like the messy moments kind of being oftentimes being what gets us to where we are. But I think sometimes, you know, and as I said, I'm working with traditionally undergraduate students who are, you know, 18 to 22 years old, give or take. Yes. I think they sometimes come in with this idea that like they shouldn't have these messy moments, that everything should just be great.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So I always try to model being very authentic and sharing some of my own moments where like I'm in this position and care so deeply about their success as early career teachers, because my first year of teaching, my middle school position was extremely challenging. I really struggled and I closed my door and wondered if I was the only one because we weren't really talking about it. Yeah. So really modeling that for students and then having them share, encouraging them to really share those moments where they struggle and letting them know like this is where the growth happens right there is really, really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you're sharing that, so many coming into the classroom feeling like everything is supposed to be going great. And, you know, I think that group of undergraduates especially probably has not really been in an environment before that's going to be celebrating the messiness, right? Mm-hmm. Everything has been about doing something the right way and getting a grade mm-hmm. on it and moving on to the next course. And, mm-hmm. Not really having that kind of integrative experience where, you know, they can take something from here and something from here and, you know, oh, this mistake I made here. And then, you know, trying to create those connections and think about how it's going to move them forward. And I imagine many of them may be coming into this with their own, you know, I just going back to my undergraduate teaching, so many didn't really see the value in what they were doing. Sometimes didn't understand the value of what they were doing outside of school, even though many of them had incredible extracurriculars and volunteering and also sometimes didn't see the value in the work that they were creating in their courses because it wasn't resonating with how it was going to connect with maybe what they were going to be doing in their career later. So a lot of it was just kind of building confidence in what they were doing and helping them recognize that, you know, what you're doing right now is important. You're important. The work that you're doing is important. And it's all part of this journey that you're on. You know, if you just are always looking at what's next without thinking about what you're doing now, you can kind of lose sight on the value of the time right now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I imagine your undergraduate students may be in similar kinds of mindsets, but are already kind of thinking about their career. So probably really want things to be going really well. Because they have an idea that this is what they want to do in the future. So,
they of course want everything to go well. And I hope that the environment that we create in our classes in the education department has set the stage for that. You know, not everything is going to go well all the time, and that's okay. Right. That's all part of the process. That's that's a place where we're going to learn. So by the time they get to student teaching, they are ready for that. I'm really glad that I have the students a semester prior to student teaching, yeah, so that I can have that relationship with them. So kind of right off the bat, they know that, you know, I'm not coming in, like when I come in to observe them, I'm not coming in with like taking notes with my red pen.
Right.
It's really like we have a shared goal to, yes, try to, you know, individualize support for them and get them ready for their first year. So
yeah, you care, sure, about their, mm-hmm, success. You're not just there to critique.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine that. So what is it their kind of day to day? Like, we sometimes get questions at Digication, especially for students that are involved in experiential learning and these kind of field work environments. As they're kind of going through this process of student teaching and putting materials into various pages, you know, what kind of maybe scaffolding or advice or mentorship do you give them about the kind of frequency they're putting materials in? Mm-hmm. If they're going to be reflecting on the experience, are they taking like little bullet points and then elaborating on them earlier? Are they doing any kind of documentation, mm-hmm, while they're right in the classroom, maybe with their phones? I would love to hear a little bit about what that process is like.
So we have a number of the structure of our program leading up to student teaching. They have a number of courses that have like field components with them, mm-hmm, but in their junior spring, so junior year, spring semester, is when things really ramp up, I'll say. And mm-hmm, they are out for 2 full days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. They spend the whole day in a classroom, one classroom. They're paired, mm-hmm, with a mentor teacher. And then they have 2 full days of classes, and they're taking 4 courses. So it's a very busy semester. So from those 4 courses, and then from the student teaching seminar, there's like a seminar component that's another course that goes along with the student teaching semester. I have, and my colleagues who teach those courses have assignments that we've identified and will recommend that they consider for their portfolio. But one of the things that I haven't done is given them, I'll let them choose. So we've got these competencies in Pennsylvania, planning and preparation, classroom environment, knowledge of diverse learners, assessment, professionalism, instruction. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you got them all.
Oh, that's a relatively short list. Yeah. There's some states that I'm, yeah, just like, oh my, yeah, gosh.
They're all, those are the categories, but then the lists within each of them are pretty extensive.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm, but they just kind of go by each category. So I might give examples of assignments that would connect really nicely to a certain competency. Mm-hmm. So for example, I teach a course in explicit instruction and structured literacy, where, mm-hmm, they're doing some lesson plans and they do a training called Reading Ready, where they're doing some reading intervention with a student who might need a little bit more support in the classroom. So they might like show assessment, not actual student data. If it was, of course, we would black out names or anything, but they would show like what they did with Reading Ready. And I might suggest like, this might work for knowledge of diverse learners, but, mm-hmm, it might also work for planning and preparation. Mm-hmm. You could talk about it there. And we kind of talk about that. So it's not that I'm dictating that this, nice, thing needs to go into this category. I really want them to think about what it meant for them,
yeah,
and to have a lot of leeway with that. But they have a number of assignments that they can use. And then during student teaching, like there are just so many things beyond even what we do in in our student teaching seminar that they would be able to include. So like, you know, for professionalism, I often recommend that they attend a school board meeting. So, you know, find out what the community is like, find out what the issues are going on at what the talk is at a school board meeting. And what are your thoughts on that? So, you know, and that artifact could be something as simple as like them standing in front of the school the night of the school board meeting and then reflecting on that experience and why, how does that help them to be a professional in the field, like understanding their community and the needs of the school board and that kind of higher level picture of local policy that's happening. So I don't know if I answered your question because I'm not. Okay. Yeah.
You got it.
Okay.
And so as part of that process, so they're thinking through, they have some suggestions about what areas may align to specific outcomes or how it was designed to align to some of those teaching standards. But they can really make a choice if they feel like there's alignment in other areas.
And yes, absolutely.
The reflection seems to really point that out. You know, if they feel like it's aligned with more.
Absolutely. So, and we do have, like we have in our handbook, we have a student teaching handbook or field experience handbook, and we have guidance for their reflections. So we give prompts, just some things that they can think about, ideas for things to think about within each competency. And I'll also just share that one of the things that we do at the end of the semester, we actually do this twice, but at the very end of the semester, we invite all of the our mentor teachers that have been their hosts in their student teaching placements to campus, and we invite some other pre-service teachers, so those that are kind of coming up to student teaching, for a portfolio night. And our students share their portfolios, and you know, we kind of do, it's informal, but they sit at a table and people just kind of like go around, oh, what did you do? And they show, you know, go through their portfolios and talk about their student teaching semester. The faculty from our department all attend as well. And it really is an opportunity for them to share all the work that they've done and feel really proud of it and get some really nice feedback for all that they've done and have a chance to talk about it, to kind of go through each thing and go back and talk about, what each artifact meant. And, they get a lot of good questions as well. And then we do that again, actually the Center for Social Science Research here, we host an event for the social sciences that we have both poster presentations, like traditional research poster presentations, and portfolios. And our students, our teacher education students, share their e-portfolios there. And we also have in our department students who are working towards a bachelor's in education, but they are not getting a certification. And those students do an internship their senior year. So they share their work as well within their internship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And so what's the kind of feedback that you hear from maybe some of the people that aren't part of the education program that are seeing the results of what they've done?
Well, I think one of the things that I think is nice for me as, you know, their supervisor and professor is for folks outside of education to understand all of the hard work that goes into it, and seeing it and not just hearing about it, being able to like just when you're seeing a picture of all that goes into a lesson. Yeah. And then the student work and the kind of feedback that our student, you know, teachers provide. And it within all of these different areas. And they're able to ask questions. I just think it really highlights for our students just that they are going into a field where they are going to be making a difference, where they're going to be working hard, and that that's being acknowledged and recognized, I think, is really important.
And that reminds me of some of the other kinds of advocacy work that you're doing. The students are, I don't know if you've been able to pick it back up since the pandemic, but you're, you had some trips out to DC to meet with policymakers. And I was looking for you to share a little bit about that and why that's an important part of what you're trying to show to your students.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I think one of the things that I learned as a classroom teacher is you are the recipient of policy, and sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, where is this coming from? And how am I supposed to do this? These people don't know my students. This wouldn't work for, you know, how do you have a voice in this field? And it's so important for teachers to have a voice, because they are the people who are on the front lines, and the people who are kind of making the policy, you know, may have very, very well intentions for really making a big difference for kids in classrooms, but they need to know the realities of what it's like on the ground. Right. And when you kind of peek behind the curtain and are able to see that as a pre-service teacher, like, what goes on, how do you talk to people? It's empowering. You can kind of learn, when I am struggling with something and when something isn't quite making sense, that I can use my voice, and how do I do that in a way that's effective? So with my first couple of groups, we took trips to Washington, D.C. and met with, like, our state senators and, you know, local people here. That group also met Jahana Hayes, who was the 2016 Teacher of the Year, which was really exciting. And then we've also taken trips to Harrisburg. I also am the faculty advisor for our student PSEA group, which is the Pennsylvania State Educators Association. And they do a lot of work around helping pre-service teachers get connected in the field, and advocacy, and really understanding how to use their voice. And that's really the key part here. Like, what do I do when something needs to change, so that I'm not just sitting there feeling frustrated? I know that I can use my voice and make a call or send an email.
Continuing that being seen, being heard, and being recognized out in the field.
Exactly.
Keep sharing what you're doing. Keep telling people where there are challenges. And
Absolutely.
Well, I know we're getting close to the end of our time today, Janet, and I just want to thank you again so much for joining me to share your story and all the great work that you're doing with your students. I did want to close out with the last couple minutes that we have here. You mentioned a little earlier in the conversation that there's, you know, kind of the importance of setting out expectations for the students as they're beginning this process, and that you do have a rubric that you share with them. One of the questions that we often receive is how students are assessed in doing this kind of work. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that?
We do have a rubric. It's part of our handbook. And it's, you know, it's evaluates each competency and whether or not the students have met the competency or not. We lay out expectations and talk about what a good reflection, what a good artifact is, what a good reflection is. And then that is all a part of our rubric. And I think it's also really important to share good models of previous students who have put together really solid portfolios, mm-hmm. and explain why this was a good reflection and why this competency was met. And another thing that we use these portfolios for is our department assessment. So mm-hmm. we actually go into all of our portfolios. We have to just assess whether or not our department we have departmental goals for our right. students. We want to make sure that they're meeting those goals. And we use the portfolios as a way to assess kind of our department in meeting our departmental goals for our students.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is that like? Do the students submit their portfolios to you, and then does the whole group kind of get together and pull them up, or what's that process?
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like. We sort of divvy them up, but we mm-hmm. definitely have more than one set of eyes on each portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then we have a discussion with our partner, who's also looking at the same portfolio, about that portfolio and the competencies, and come to an agreement on whether or not our departmental goals were met. Mm-hmm. It's a useful tool for that as well, that we're able to think about our performance, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. We're setting expectations for ourselves, and how do we know if they've been met? And this is one good way to assess that.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. I remember even in the kind of early days of creating these tools, one of the useful things in evaluating the students' portfolios is very often seeing which teaching standards seem to be highlighted more often than some others. So some curriculum adjustments could be made to be sure that, you know, adequate time was being spent on some standards that may not have gotten the same light shed on them
right.
as before. And without having those reflections, you know, I think it may not have been addressed as quickly. So
absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And a chance for us to have conversations about our goals and the mm-hmm. competencies, and where is this happening and how is it mm-hmm. happening? So yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah. And have you used any of that at all for any kind of departmental accreditations or program kind of accreditations, or are there plans for that? I don't know how often they roll around there.
Yeah. I don't think that we have at this point, but that's not a bad idea. I'm sure if that comes around soon, that will be part of the plan. So,
yeah, well, they can be incredible records of that for that purpose. And there's some nice ways that they could be kind of collected and presented to accreditation teams, so that they kind of
absolutely
have their own view and tools that they might be able to use to review them. So we might
absolutely
have to stay in touch on that point, Janet.
That sounds good.
Well, thank you so much again for joining me today. It was so lovely speaking to you, and I'm really excited to share your story with our listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Good, good. Take good care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Coming up next, we'll be chatting with Tina Abate, Clinical Assistant Professor and Coordinator of the Stony Brook Nursing Program at Stony Brook University.
I feel that they can land their dream job that they have been working towards for their entire program, then they're more likely to stay, and that could possibly impact turnover, retention. So let's put them in a position, in the best position possible, to nail that job that they really have wanted to pursue from day one, so that maybe that they'll stay.